Chuck.
We talking about
Charleston.
The Charleston Battery.
Yeah, it's a Chucktown check-in coming at you after a few weeks since the last recorded podcast. With me, as always, the infamous C-Moose, Mr. Seamus Grady. How goes everything, Seamus?
It's going great down here in Chucktown, man. How's it going up in Atlanta?
You know, I forget that we're basically even when it comes to the map. I think we might even be... Here's the thing. I think if you tilt the axis, Charleston is actually north.
Really? See, I think this conversation with people all the time because everybody's like, "Oh, we're coming up to Charleston." I remember whenever y'all
because you're always looking at it on a flat map, but the world is not flat like that. It's on its axis, and
you look at it on the map, and it looks like it's
right. It looks like it's if anything, it's south.
Yeah.
So, which is always weird.
I get what you're saying. Now, I've never ever taken the curvature of the Earth into consideration.
I mean, I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but I mean that is something to think about.
With
the Earth on its axis, you know, maybe it's not as south as people think. But anyways, good over here. You know what? We're excited to see that Battery didn't falter too badly throughout the last three games that they had. You know, one win, two draws. Couldn't get as many points as they probably would have liked, considering who they were playing, considering the situation. But still. Last time we recorded, Charleston Battery were in fourth place in the East and about to take on, again, three teams at the top of the Eastern Conference table. They beat New York Red Bulls, New York Red Bulls 2. Yeah, 3-2.
Red Bulls Junior.
goals in that match from Michael Chang, Javier Cordovez, and then Romario Williams. Kind of a crazy game. Battery go up 2-0. A great header off a throw-in from Obi Woodbine, who is... really making a case to get some MLS notice for next year. You know, he finds Chang in the box for the first. Woodbine in on the second goal as well. Through ball to Romario for an easy slot into the side netting. Especially when you consider the fact that Atlanta United hasn't really been going after defensive players. I guess the exception would be Chris McCann, but he's very versatile, so I don't know if he's specifically going to be considered a defensive player. But considering they haven't really gone after anyone that we know of yet, Woodbine, he could be a good pickup if they want to bring him in during a preseason camp and you know, see what he's got.
Oh yeah, definitely. I definitely think he's one of the guys that's flown under the radar for the past few years. He's a guy with that actually already has MLS experience, you know, playing up in New England for the Revs, and he's been in great form this season. He's had a great few years with the Battery now that he's back. And I think he's definitely a guy that Atlanta should take a look at because he's a very versatile player. And I tell you what, those throw-ins.
Those are dangerous.
It's ridiculous. He can make a throw-in look like a corner kick. It's crazy.
In that Red Bulls match, Battery let him back in, scoring two straight to even the match at two. This is after halftime. The second goal looked a little rough for Tambakis. Won't put the blame on him for the second goal, but basically it was a long free kick into the box that missed the head of a Red Bull player. And it was so close that it, you know, it misses his head. It bounces within the 6-yard box. And when you're expecting a header and you're going to react to that, it's hard to sort of change your momentum, not mid jump, but, you know, that quickly. And so it bounces a few feet in front of him and gets a good bounce up into the net, making it pretty tough for Tambakis to do much with it. I don't know how many keepers could have reacted fast enough to save that goal, but overall he didn't look bad in the games that he was in. He played two out of the three games they had, and I'm wondering if that's maybe a little more confidence being shown in Tambakis.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. And, you know, he's been getting a lot of flack on Twitter and social media, and I just gotta put this out there. Everybody needs to calm down on the whole giving Tambakis, you know, the business. Because, I mean, really, he didn't look that bad in the, you know, two out of those three games. I mean, Cooper's looked fantastic, but Tambakis, he still made some good saves. And, I mean, you saw earlier today, USL tweeting out best saves of the year so far. And I believe Tambakis was in there one or two times. I think he was, like, the first one on the video. So I think everybody just needs to take a step back. He's doing well. I mean, he has had some moments where, you know, he looked a little iffy. but I mean, he's a young guy.
I forget how old he is. I want to say like 22, 23,
24.
Yeah,
I
that sounds right.
I've caught myself because I've always been like, oh yeah, he's a good kid, and then I'm like, oh well, he's actually my age.
remember this. This is a like a fun fact when it comes to goalkeepers. Goalkeepers typically don't peak until late 20s, early 30s.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
He's still for a keeper, for a guy that can play in any league or play professionally for at least another 10 years or so. He is still super young and super, you know, getting into the rhythm of playing on a regular basis. You know, he's in a new country. Well, not super new, but you know what I mean. He's in a new He's in a new place. He's playing for a new team. He's, I'm sure, still sort of in ways acclimating to South Carolina and the United States. So, you know, it's been good seeing what he's got. I think he's still a little rusty. He might need another year or two before, you know, he can called up into MLS. But you never know. Maybe he shows great flashes in the preseason camps and makes the Atlanta United team. Or maybe, I don't know. Who knows what happens within the next 7-8 months or so. That game, the Red Bull game, ended 3-2. That was the first of three. It was a crazy game. 1-1 was how the next game ended. FC Cincinnati, Cordovez with the goal for the Battery. It was another great opportunity to make a jump in the standings, but Charleston couldn't capitalize on the opportunity. They also drew against Charlotte Independence, but it was a great start for the Battery in that match. Just couldn't take advantage. And again, both ties 1-1. Most impressive was Chang. He had one goal, and he had an assist on, I'm trying to think, three different goals. He was involved in just about everything. I think in the five goals that Charleston scored over the three games, he was involved in four of them.
Yeah, that's right. He was. And I mean, he's blown me away so far this season. He's been by far the MVP of the season so far. I mean, he's just, I don't know what happened with him over the offseason, but he went from being a, you know, obviously young player that, you know, he'd make mistakes on the field. He still, you could tell he was talented, but, you know, he never showed what he's showing so far this season. It's been really fun to watch him play.
You know, he's another guy like Woodbine who seemed to really take advantage of the last three matches. I know amongst the Dirty South Soccer crew in Atlanta or in the Georgia area, you know, we all look at Michael Chang and we like what we see, you know, and you know, he's really starting to rack up some notice, at least from the Atlanta United fans that are keeping up with Charleston. The Battery, even though they haven't lost a game in the last three matches, fell to fifth in the East, although they are a game behind the Richmond Kickers, who passed the Battery. I want to say because of that extra game they've played so far. Now they play three games in 7 days, which can really test a team's fitness. I know they just had, was it a week off or 10? It was 10 days off, right?
10 days off. So yeah, you're coming off one, you know, grind of a stretch with those three big road games and then the game against Charlotte. And now you're going right back into the grinder. It's that point of the season now where we're getting to crunch time. So it's definitely, you know, the getting a draw on the road against Cincinnati in front of that crowd, that's great. You know, getting that win.
What was the total for that crowd?
I believe that one was just over 20. Like, I don't think it was as big.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
The other games they've had, because they've had some that were closer to 30, 35, I think. And so that I can live with that result, you know, going on the road there in a tough environment. Played very well. The draw against Charlotte, though, I just, you know, that's one that they let get away from them. That was 3 points that could have made a really big difference looking at the table right now.
Next three matches for the Battery, FC Montreal on the 13th. At Richmond to take on the Kickers on the 17th, and then at the Wilmington Hammerheads. This is roughly, I mean, there's about 9 games left, I think, from what I saw on the schedule. This is the time where you really need to pick up points if they're going to make a run to the top of the table. You know, still have some matches against teams above them, but they're 9 points behind Louisville City, and who are currently at the top of the table. And I mean, again, now is the time that they need to really, you know, you need the 7 points out of 9. You need the, you know, as many points as you can come away with throughout the rest of the season to really make that push up. Otherwise, you're going to be playing a team that you've faced a couple times and are very evenly matched up against when it comes to playoff time. And you want to set yourself up to have the best possible opponent you can, so that You know, you, looking back, and this is, you know, looking way ahead, but looking at the U.S. Open Cup and how Charleston fared in that tournament, it worries me a little bit to play a team even remotely similar to the talent and to the level of play that the Battery are at, just because of the – I didn't feel like they were up for the U.S. Open Cup, which typically the Battery are.
Yeah, I mean, it almost seems like they came out flat. You know, they got caught sleeping against the Villages. And, you know, they were gifted a chance into the next round. And you could just tell that in their minds they weren't there, which is something that's very rare for the Battery. But, you know, looking towards the end of the season now, the schedule's kind of opening up in their favor. You know, you got two matches against FC Montreal that are struggling. You know, you got the match against Wilmington. They're also struggling. Another match against Charlotte, Bethlehem. And then you got a few tough ones in there with Richmond and another game against New York. But
but all these games, you're either going up against teams that you should beat, absolutely should beat, or you're going up against teams that are ahead of you and you need to beat. So every game at this point from here on out is more or less not a must win. I don't want to say that, you know, they're at risk of getting bounced from the playoff spots anytime soon, but, you know, it's important to take as many points as you can from at least the next three matches, and then, you know, moving forward, just looking at wins, maybe the occasional draw. You can't take a loss at this point.
You got to get as many wins as possible at this point. And, you know, just looking at the way this season's gone, it's concerning. You know, you're not quite to the point where you hit the panic button.
No, not at all.
You can't really take any losses in this stretch, though, because, I mean, they're not hitting the panic button on missing the playoffs yet, but it could very easily turn that way if, you know, you take a dip. So
it's
looking at their form right now over the past few games, though, I mean, they've looked pretty good. I mean, just, you know, looking at New York and Cincinnati, Charlotte, disappointing. But, you know, there's very little margin for error looking forward now.
You know, again, as many points as you can. And I wonder if maybe you got a chance to talk to head coach Mike Anheuser about Jeffrey O2. And maybe he's someone that can come in and possibly make a difference. Possibly be a workhorse in the midfield. I know you talked to the coach. Is there any indication as to when he might play, or, you know, what his impact on the team might be?
Yeah, talking to Coach Anheuser, he definitely said that he is very, very close. He said he's a young kid.
It's his fitness, I'm assuming?
He didn't quite say, but just looking at him through training and everything, that's what I would assume.
Okay.
But looking now, he's getting on the team sheet more consistently now. And Anheuser pretty much said he is, you know, just inches away from making the field. So he almost put him in against Charlotte. Didn't quite make it. I think that he went with Sonis, and I can't remember who else he subbed in, maybe Garbanzo. But he was very close to putting him in, and then Charlotte got, you know, that equalizer. So I think somewhere in the next few games, it wouldn't surprise me if against Montreal, you know, a team that's struggling, that we see O2. But I would definitely put my money on, we are going to see O2 here soon on the field.
Do we want to predict we see him?
I think we're going to see him this week. I think we'll see him Saturday against Montreal. That wouldn't shock me at all. And another interesting thing about that matchup is a little Romario Williams going up against his team's USL side. So who knows what's going on with that?
That'll be interesting, especially if he lights it up against him, yeah?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to see that. That'd be great.
So again, the next three matches, FC Montreal on the 13th, Richmond Kickers on the 17th, and then the Wilmington Hammerheads after that. I think it's the 20th, I want to say.
The 20th, yeah.
I don't have it written down here, but yeah, it's the 20th. That match, actually, to wrap things up, at least for that short three games in seven days, that's actually going to be a kind of a fun one to watch, because you got to think that it's almost good placement, good scheduling. I don't know if that's even something. That'd be a USL thing. It wouldn't be a Battery thing, but it's convenient scheduling for the Battery, because that's a game they can get pumped for, even as maybe tired or as sore as they might be from, you know, playing three games in 7 days, that's a game that they can still get up for, that, you know, obviously it's a regional rivalry, and it's a match that hopefully, again, you're taking all 3 points away from, because at this point, yeah, you just need them.
Well, not only that, it's a big rivalry, but yep. It's also going to be, in all likelihood, the last ever matchup between
Wilmington
and Charleston. So very, it's going to be a very bittersweet, you know, kind of road trip for the Battery, because while it's been a very heated rivalry, it's always been friendly. You know, those two fan bases have been very closely connected, you know, just being a couple hours up the road. But it's very unfortunate to see what's been going on in Wilmington for
I was going to say, for those that maybe don't know, sum up the Wilmington situation.
Yeah, so the Hammerheads now, they've had some ownership issues over the past few years. And now it's looking like the ownership situation with the second round of owners has started to dissolve, deteriorate, whatever. And it's looking like now the mumblings are that we have some relocation that's going to happen. And the Hammerheads are probably going to end up in Baltimore, from the sound of things. That's what all the rumors have been going around, and that seems to be the consensus view of what's going to happen. So, of course, you know, you got a feel for, you know, Eastside Ultras up there, Port City Firm. They're great supporters. They're very passionate. It's very sad for them, but you know, it's just you're wondering how much you're going to see that now in the USL. You know, relocation. You never really hear about relocation all that much in soccer. You know, you always hear about it in the other American sports, but it's interesting to see that happen now in USL.
I'm curious if they think that maybe the Baltimore area is a better market. I don't know.
By far, you'd be swapping.
I don't know what the soccer scene is in Baltimore.
I mean, you know, just looking at it from, because you got to boil it down to, this is a business, you know, and looking at this from a business standpoint and the health of the league, USL as a whole, it's a fantastic move for the league. You're swapping your smallest market in the league for a big time metropolitan area.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mean, it's shocking to me that Baltimore doesn't already have a team. I'm talking about an area where soccer is very popular. I would have thought they would at least have an NASL, I mean, even an NPSL team. But I think they were definitely a city that was, they were due to get one eventually. Right. It's just unfortunate that Wilmington has to lose their team in the process.
Definitely a lot to look forward to over the next, on Saturday, on the next 7 days. Possible 0-2 sighting on Saturday.
Hope so.
You know, but three games that are must-haves for Charleston in their run to the top of the table throughout the course of the rest of the season, and hopefully we see nothing but positives. Andrew Carlton, I know he's more with the national team and with the academy, but has he been up there lately, or can we expect
I've been keeping a sharp eye out for him. Haven't seen him, but the word that I've been given is that at the end of the month we'll be seeing him. So okay. I would probably tab his return as being for the Rochester match. That's supposed to be when he's wrapping up camp. I guess the camp in Utah. So that's when that's going to be wrapping up. So I'd expect him to be back just in time for the late playoff push there.
I was going to say it might be good for him to. It might be perfect because you'll get some serious training. You'll get some games in. He'll get some actual playing time.
I think they will definitely work him into the lineup, and we'll definitely see him play, especially looking towards the playoffs. Because I think he's a player, even as young as he is. You know, just seeing his talent. Like when I finally got to see him in action against Rangers, that's a kid who I think could looking forward to next year and you know, towards the end of the season, I think he could tear it up in USL for sure.
Yeah, hopefully he just grows just a little bit more than any he needs to pound a couple cheeseburgers. Well, not cheeseburgers, but you know what I mean. Just get some weight on you, bud, because going up against grown men is a different story. But definitely lots to look forward to. Again, maybe an 0-2 sighting on Saturday, and of course, three games for the Battery in the next 7 days. You know, this is partly the start of a hopefully what is a big playoff push to the top of the table. And I don't know, anything else from you, Seamus?
I think that's it.
Perfect. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoy. We're going to try to get one in, depending on how the game goes Saturday and what happens there. We're going to try to get one in next week. So look out and take it easy, everybody.
We are the Bachelorette.